Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Shvuot Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, beginning our analysis of the second Mishnah of the seventh parak of Masachet Shvuot. But again, we have to look back at the Mishnah, and the easiest thing is to open up a Mishnayot to Shvuot Parak Zion Mishnah Bet. And we're going to look at Mishnah Bet and look at the Yitanan Kamara, Mishnah Gimel the Yitanan Kamara, and Mishnah Dalam the Yitanan Kamara, and that's what we will cover in this Shiur. Hanigzal Ketzad. So our Mishnah, remember, introduced those exceptions to the rule. The rule being that a person taking an oath is exempting himself from payment. There are cases where a person takes an oath and collects. And the second example was Nigzal, someone who is the victim of theft. Ketzad, what's the case? Hayumi dinoto shenichas leveto lemashkino shelo bershut. There are witnesses who saw a creditor come into this fellow's house. So it's not a regular case of theft. Who came in to take a pledge without his permission, who omer kelai natalta, and he claims, you took my kelim, my stuff, who omer lo natalti, and he says, I didn't take anything, hareza nishba v'notel, he can take the oath and collect back those items. Now, Rabbi Yehuda omer, again, as we saw in the previous Mishnah, ad sheisham miktzat hoda'ah, there has to be a hoda'ah b'miktzat, an admission of some debt, ketzad, if he says you took two things, and the response is no, I only took one. Okay, let's look at the Gemara, Memvav Amud Aleph at the bottom. Nigzal etc. They saw the guy walk into the house and say, I'm going to take some things. Who says he took anything? Because we have to have evidence that he took something so that the man could take a shvu and get it back. Didn't Rav Nachman rule Haiman? Did not keep Narga v'yadeh? If a guy takes an axe in his hand, he says, I'm going to go cut down this guy's tree. And we see that it's cut down and thrown to the side. We don't say he did it. Meaning, Alma avid inish to gazim v'lo avid. Sometimes people exaggerate. They say hysterical statements, but they don't act on them. Same thing here. The guy might have said, I'm coming into his house to take something. Who said he took anything? And here, it's worse because we don't know that anything's missing. So, Ema Umishkano, don't say that the witnesses saw him come in to collect, but actually the witnesses came in and saw him take something. So, Velachzimai Mishkano, so just ask the witnesses, what did he take out? He says, you took something in your pocket or underneath your garment, so nobody saw what it was, and I'm claiming it was this dish. I'm claiming it was that shovel. Now, that leads us to the following. Amar Yehuda, Ra'u, this is not about Mashkon, it's just a normal case. Ra'u shit min kelim tachat knafav yatsa. Guy walks in another guy's house, and witnesses see that he put something under his garment and left. And then when asked, V'amar l'kuchinen biyadi, he said, yeah, I bought it. Eino ne'mar, we don't believe him. And look at Rashi, the homeowner is claiming, no, I lent it to him. He's not claiming he stole it. He's claiming, yes, I gave it to him as a loan. So he's not believing he has to return it. That's only talking about a guy who doesn't sell out of his house. But a guy who does sell things out of his house, Neman, he's believed to say I bought it. Even a guy who doesn't sell out of his house. That's only with things that aren't normally hidden. Like things that are regular or kli. Things that you normally hide because it's embarrassing or they're very private things, Neman, he still believed. It was the fact that he has it hidden as he walked out is kind of circumstantially working against him. But if it's the kind of thing that you normally hide, then he's Neman. Even if it's the kind of things we don't normally hide. That's only true about a guy who's not himself a very private person. That's the way he normally goes. That's only if the dispute is borrowed versus bought. If the guy claims he stole it, you don't have the right to suddenly call somebody a ganav. And so therefore, he is believed to say he bought it if the only other voice is the homeowner saying he stole it. And by the way, this is only true about things that are normally lent out or rented. If there's things that either you own or you buy them, but you don't normally rent them, Neman, the guy's believed to say he bought them. How do we know? The Shalach Rav Huna Bar Avin, he had sent the following message from Eretz Yisrael: Dvarim Asuyin LaShul Askir, things that are normally borrowed. And he says, that I bought them, we don't believe them, with all of the stipulations that we mentioned above. But notice how he started it. Dvarim ha'asuyim la'shilaskir, only things that are normally lent, then we believe the homeowner who says, I lent them. Now, ki hada Rava, there's a case with Rava, apig zuga de sarvala, he extracted scissors, it was used for combing things, combing garments, v'sifra d'agadata, a sefer agadata, miyatme, meaning that there were some yatomim who had this stuff in their estate when father died, and in their context, it was the kind of thing that was normally lent, and the guy who previously owned it, we had Edut that he owned it, said, yeah, their father borrowed it from me, and their claim of, I bought it, isn't believed. Okay. Amarava afilu shomer nishpa. This goes now back to our Mishnah. Even if a guy's watching the house for somebody, and he says this fellow came in, and we have witnesses, that the guy came in and said, I'm taking a mashkon, and did take out the mashkon, but it was under his garment, and this guy swears what he took, he's believed, and he can take the oath. Afilu ishtosho shomer nishpa. Even his wife can take the oath. So, Bar Papa Schiru Likito Mai, what about a regular worker, like a gardener or somebody who's around the house? Can he take that oath? Teku. Question is, that's not so clear that he's enough of a connected to the house that he could take such an oath. Now, Amar Le Rav Yemar Le Rashi, Tano B'chosar Kaspa Mai, what if the guy claims, meaning the homeowner claims, that he took out a silver cup? Do we believe him? And take it on, take a shvu and collect it back. So the answer is chazina. Inish damidu. If the guy's wealthy, so he'd have a silver cup. Oh, inish de mehaman hu. Or if he's a very trustworthy guy, de mifkid de inshigabe. The people are mafkid things with him. Mishtaba v'shakil. Then he could take the oath. In other words, if it's reasonable that he really owns this, he could take the oath. V'ilolo. But if he's not, if it's not a reasonable assumption based on who he is, then he cannot take the oath. Okay, now we have to go back to the Mishnah again. And in the Mishnah, the next one is Hanechbal Kitza. The next guy is somebody who is the victim of assault. Again, can take an oath. What's the story? Hayumi Dibotosh Nichlas Tachat Yado Shalem. There are witnesses that he went to this fellow and he was a healthy Fiatzah Chavul. And when he left him, he was all battered. Vamarlo Chavaltavi. And he claims the guy hit him and beat him up. Vamarlo Chavaltavi. The guy says, no, I didn't. Zen Nishbav Notel. He could take. Now, raising his bavon hotel, he could take an oath and collect all five payments. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ajte Shah Miktat Hoda'a. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says there has to be some sort of an admission. And as we saw in the previous podcast, Rabbi Yehuda's approach is that only with a shvuah that Mida Oraita would work do we allow them to flip it and allow this other guy to take it. That's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. How does that work? Amar lo chavalta bishtayim. He said, you hit me, and you hit me in two places, let's say. And the other guy says, no, I only hit you in one place. So he admits to some liability for attack. Okay, now back to the Gemara. We have a very short piece on this. He only has to take an oath if the wound is in the kind of place that he could have hurt himself, like his arm. He could have punched his own arm. But if it's impossible for him to have hurt himself because of the location of this thing, then Notel below Shvua. He can take the payment, and he does not have to take an oath because, after all, it's quite obvious that the other fellow attacked him, and therefore there is no need for an oath. Okay. Why aren't we concerned that this guy, who's trying to frame the other guy for his attack and get him to pay, why aren't we concerned that perhaps he rubbed up against a wall and got himself cut up and then claimed that this guy did it? That's why we have to take a shvua. So Tani Rav Chiya shaltol neshicha begabov uvein atzila yado. That ben atzila yadav. If a bite mark suddenly showed up on his back or between his arms in such a way that it's no way that he could have hurt himself, because a bite mark you can't generate from the outside. And there, so maybe he got some other guy to do it. In other words, maybe he's conspiring with somebody to get money out of this fellow, and he has somebody else come and bite him in this place that he couldn't reach. The answer is, we have to have testimony that there was nobody else. In other words, the only way that this could ever happen is, there's clear testimony that the only way it happened was this guy. Okay, go back to the Mishnah. And Mishnah Dalet is, Kishenegdo Chashud Al HaShvuah. This is the fourth of the five cases where a guy takes an oath and collects. That is, if you come to take an oath and you come to sue somebody and the other fellow is supposed to take an oath, cannot because he's suspected of lying under oath, therefore bounces back to you, you take the oath and collect. Ketzad. Achat shvuat ha'edut. Whether he has lied as a shvuat ha'edut, shvuat ha'pikadon, hafilu shvuat shav, any kind of oath that he lied under makes him chashud al shvua. The four famous categories within the Sanhedrin of Psulim Durabanan, a gambler, somebody who's Malva Beribit, who lends, what kind of Ribit we're talking about, Mafricha Yonim, there's two different opinions in the Gemara as to what that is, whether it's bird flying, or it's some similar way of trapping birds, and Sochrei Shvit, people who do business in Shemitah. So, Shekinegdo Nishpa Benotel, the other guy takes the oath and collects. Hayushneyan Chashudin. Now here, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't pipe in about motiv miktzad because it's not relevant to the issue. Hayush and chashudin. Let's say both guys are chashud. Here we get into a bit of a mess. Chazra shvua limkoma divir Rabbi Yossi. According to our Mishnah's version, Rabbi Yossi said the shvua comes back to where it originally started, which is not clear what that means, and the Gemara will discuss it. Rabbi Meir Omer Yachloker. Meir says no. In such a case, they have to split, and the guy pays half. Okay. Now, please turn to the Gemara on Daf Mem Vav Amud Bet, near the bottom, and let's see how we end up analyzing this particular piece. Shenegdo Chashud, Safilu Shvuat Shav. The first point is, why do they mention Shvuat Shav as if it's not so obvious? So I feel Shvuat Shav. Why is Shvuat Shav any less than the other ones? The answer is, Lo Mibaye Kamar. We're trying to introduce a more severe issue, meaning, there's a denial of a financial debt or help to get a guy get money. And so therefore we would say, oh, if you're chashud on a shvua that involves kferet mamon, we understand why we can't let you take the shvua. But, in a case of shvua chav, you're just saying nonsense, but you're saying it under oath and you're chashud, lo maheman, you're still not believed. So velit anami shvua pitui. So why didn't the Mishnah also mention Shvuat Pitui? Afilu Shvuat Shav, Afilu Shvuat Pitui. The guy says I'm gonna eat some bread, the next day doesn't eat some bread, eat bread. So the answer is Kitani Shvua Dechi Kamishtaba Bishikwa Kamishtaba. Now it's only true, you're only called Choshen al Shvua if when you take the oath you're lying. But a Shvuat Pitui, typically you take an oath and you just don't live up to it. Well, Shvuat Pitui, Shvuat Pitui, the Ikal of Evered of Kushta Kamishtava, it's possible that you took the oath properly, which is later on we find out that you didn't fulfill it. So Loktani. So Teinach Ochavolo Ochal, that only works for the future Shvuat Pitui. It takes it back to the third parak. Achalti Velo Achalti, my Ikal of Emer, what are you going to say about Shvuat Pitui about the past? So the answer is, Tana Shvuat Chav, Acholded Amile. Meaning that we already mentioned Shvuat Shav and anything that's like Shvuat Shav. Okay. The last piece we're going to look at right now, and in the next podcast we're going to look at this issue of Hayushnehen. Actually, no, we're going to go further with this. Hayachad Mian Mesachet Bikubia, Hatu Lamali, why do you have to mention the Mesachet Bikubia separately? The answer is Tana Psula Doraita, V'Ktani Psula Drabanan. So the first list was what, just if the guy is choshel al shvua d'oraita because he lied under oath. The other is if he's a pasul eidut and can't take a shvua because of psul d'rabbanan. Okay, Ayushnei and chashudin. Now, I mentioned that the Mishnah, in our version, said that Rabbi Yossi said chazra shvua mikoma, and Rabbi Meir said yachloka. And remember, always, the ironclad rule, Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Meir, the halacha always follows Rabbi Yossi. Now, Amar le Rav Rav Nachman. Rav turned to Rav Nachman and said, Hechi Tanan, which means, how was the Mishnah properly presented? In other words, in Rav Nachman's Beit Midrash, the Tanaim produced two different versions, or it was murky who said what. So who said what? Amar le lo yadana. Rav Nachman said, I don't know. Hilchatamai, and therefore the question is, what's the halacha? So Amar le lo yadana. Because I got to find out what Rav Yossi said before I can tell you what the halacha is. So let's find out. A little later on, Rav Yosef Barmanyumi Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman came along and said, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachloku. Rabbi Yossi is the one who said Yachloku. V'chein tani Rav Zvid Bar Oshaya, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachloku. Ikarami tani Rav Zvid Amar Rav Oshaya. It's either Rav Zvid, the son of Rav Oshaya, or Rav Zvid quoting Rav Oshaya, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachloku. So in Rav Nachman's Beit Midrash, we had a lot of opinions that said, flip of our Mishnah. And Rav Yosef Amanumi, Avar Rav Nachman Uvda Yachloku. And now we find that the Rav Nachman, and it had to be after Rav asked that question. Take a look at Tosfot here. Rav Nachman came to the conclusion, did the research, found out that the best version he had was flipped of our Mishnah, and in practice, he had a case where both two guys came, they were both choshed al shvuah, he split the money, the guy ended up paying half. Now, the next piece in the Gemara ignores that and goes away from Rav Nachman's Beit Midrash and addresses the issue of Chazra Shvuah L'Mkoma from perspective of our Mishnah's reading that Rabbi Yossi said Chazra L'Shvuah L'Mkoma, and that's the halacha. Now, the question is, La'ichan Chazra, what does that mean, that the Shvuah comes back to its original place? That the Shvuah is going to sort of die, or that it, and nothing happens, or the Shvuah dies, because nobody can take the Shvuah, and that there will be payment. Amar Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Ami said the following thing in Eretz Yisrael. Rabotenu shebebavel amru. Our teachers in Bavel said, Chazra Shvuah l'Sinai. That's what it means. Meaning the oath goes back to our Sinai, where our Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Lo Tigzol. And that means, no money changes hands, and God will exact payment. Rabotenu shebeeretz Yisrael amru, and it's funny because Rabbi Ami is saying this about his students, but he says, Chazra Shvuah l'mechuyavla. The Shvuah comes back to the one who has to take the oath, and since he can't take the oath, he pays. Oh! I'm Rav Papa, Rav Tenish Ravel, who are they? Rav Shmuel, and I could show you where they said it. Rav Tenish Ravel, who's that? Rabbi Abba, and I'll show you where he said it. Here we go. Rav Tenish Ravel, Rav Shmuel, Ditnan. Later on in our parak, we'll see, and we'll do this in the next podcast. V'chein hayitomim lo yiparu el v'shvuah. Heirs cannot collect a money unless they take an oath. V'avin and Bain, and our discussion about that mishnah, we said, Miman, who are they collecting from and with whom are they taking the oath? If they're collecting directly from the Lova, meaning father lent money and father died and now his heirs come to collect from the Lova, doesn't make sense. Avuon shaka below shvua. Their father could have collected without an oath. Vinush shvua, they have to take an oath. The heirs are always less likely to take an oath than the father. Elahachi kamar, this is what it says. V'chein ha'yitomim min ha'yitomim. So our explanation is, the Mishnah, when it says that Yitomim always collect b'shvuah, means if they're collecting from other Yitomim, which means the original people who both, the borrower and the lender both died, and now they're, the borrower's kids are coming, and the lender's kids are coming to collect from them. Now, based on that, Rav Shmuel said, that's only if the borrower was alive, the lender died, and then the Lova died, and then the heirs of the Malva are coming to collect from the heirs of the Lova, and there's a Shvua that they take, and basically it's a Shvua Tayorshim when they say, we never heard from father that he got paid, or we didn't see the document of a receipt, and therefore you owe us. Aval Meit Lova B'chayim Malva. So Rav and Shmuel said, in that later Mishnah, that if the Lova dies first, meaning the borrower died, and then the Malva was still alive at that point, which means if the Malva wanted to collect at that point, he'd have to take a Shvuah. Kvar nitchayev Malva livnei Lova Shvuah. The Malva already became liable to take an oath if he wanted to collect. Ve'ein adam mori Shvuah levanav. A man does not bequeath a Shvuah. What that means is, money that a person would collect through a Shvuah cannot be inherited down to the next generation. And therefore, Rav and Shmuel would say, in such a case, you can't take the oath and you can't collect. Okay. So therefore, Rav and Shmuel put a limitation on the rule that we see later in the Mishnah, but they hold the position that when two sides and neither can take the oath, then the money stays put. Rabotei Shmuel Yisrael, who's that? Rabbi Abba, famous case. Da'u gavar dechatav nascha michavrei. We already saw this earlier in Shmuel, in a famous case in Bava Batra. A guy grabbed some silver from another guy. Ata lekamei. Rabbi Ami. They came before Rabbi Ami, and he said he wanted his stuff back. Vyati, Rabbi Abba come in. Rabbi Abba was sitting there, and Aiti chadasada the michtav chatfaminei. And the grabbee brought one witness that this fellow had grabbed from him. Amr lein, and the grabber said, "Yeah, I did grab it. Chatfi v'didi chatfi. I grabbed what was mine, so I'm getting my own thing back." So Amar Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami said, "Hey, Chalid Danu Dayani Lahaidina. How should a Dayan judge this case? Namely, Zil Shalim to tell the grabby, sorry, the grabber, you have to pay back. Like a Tresada, we don't have two witnesses that he grabbed it. Niftere to let him go. Ikachad Sada, we have one witness that he grabbed it. So Namele Zil Ishtaba, if we tell him you take an oath that it was really yours." Since he admits that he grabbed it, Hamelik Gazlan. At least in this particular case, he can't take an oath because he admits that he grabbed it inappropriately. That's not proper procedure. So what do you do? He can't take an oath. We can't let him walk away because we got witnesses. We also can't make him pay. Amalei Rabbi Abba, sort of Rabbi Abba said, Rabami, have mechuyav shvua v'ena cholish shava. If somebody's obligated to take an oath and can't take the oath, chuyav shvua v'ena cholish shava, mishalem, he has to pay. So what do you see? You see that in Eretz Yisrael, the psak in a case where the person who can't take the shvua has to pay. And in Bavel, the psak of Rav and Shmuel was that in such a case, no money changes hands. Now the cases are not really 100% analogous, but this is how Rabbi Ami laid it out. Amarava kavatei Rabbi Abba mistabra. He said, I think that we should rule like Rabbi Abba. How? Why? Datani Rabbi Ami shvuat Adonai tiyah ben shneihem. This is in Shvuat HaShomri. The oath goes between the two of them. What does that mean? V'lo bein ha-yorshin. What's the drasha? Between the two of them and not between yorshin. What does that mean? Hechidami. Ilema damar le manela abba biyaravicha. If an heir says, you owe my father $100, v'amar le chamshin lately, and the other guy says, no, I know that it's 50 and not the other 50, then that's a classic vod of a miktsad. I say you owe me 100, you say I owe you 50. Mali hu mali avua. Why do I care if it's the father or the kid? Of course you take the oath. Elalav de'amarle, it must be a case where he said, Mane la abba biyad avicha, you owe my father 100, amale chamshin yadana, v'chamshin lo yadana. The heir must have said, I know about 50, the other 50 I don't know about. And there the heir doesn't take the oath. So you have to say that in a parallel case, the father would have been chayev to take the oath. Therefore we need a pasuk to say that the heir is a potter. And by the way, if the father is chayiv in such an oath, and the father can't say, can't take the oath because he says he doesn't know about the other 50, he has to pay. So therefore you see that when a person has to take an oath, and they can't take the oath because they either are choshen al shvua or it's about something that they just don't know, they have to pay. The money doesn't stand still. So therefore, Eli Iamart aviv ki agav nanami pater. But if you think father would also be exempt in a case like that, what do I need a pasuk to say the heirs don't take an oath? So it must be that it's a case where if father were alive, he would have to take the oath. And since he can't take the oath, he'd have to pay. So Ravu Shmuel, I shvuat Adonai makab darshime. So what do Rav and Shmuel do with that phrase? Because they can't interpret it the same way because that shoots down their theory, their approach. The answer is, we already saw this. Shem and Tarfon Omer. Shvuat Adonai b'tiyah ben shneihem melamed shashvua chala al shneihem, that the shvua applies to both of them, and therefore when they're about to take the shvua, we saw this in the previous parak, everybody else backs out of the way because the two of them are called rishaim in that pasuk. Okay? Now, since Shimon ben Tarfon is a very unquoted person, the few things that he have to say are collected here. Shimon ben Tarfon omer, azhara la'okei v'char no'ef b'nayin. How do we know that if somebody is like a procurer or somebody who eggs somebody else onto adultery, how do we know that he's violating a law? Tamar lomar lo tinaf, meaning lo tanif, don't cause adultery. And vateragnubo aleichem, the drasha in the beginning of pasuk in the beginning of Dvarim, where Moshe describes how Bnei Israel rebelled in their tents and what we refer to as chetam raglim, refusal to go to Israel. Shemot afron omer, what's the teragnu? Tartem, you traveled, you visited. Veginitem, and then you degraded. Be'olo shel makom. Te ragnu, tartem ginitem. You traveled, and then you came back with a bad report. Ad hanahar hagadol nahar prat. He says, why is prat considered to be this huge river? Tratafromer, carve the gabe dahina vidan. Get near somebody with oil, and you get oily. Meaning, since the prat, which is not such a huge river, but since it comes near Eretz Yisrael, therefore it's called a Nahar HaGadol. Because getting close to greatness makes you great. Rabbi Shmuel Tana Eved Melech Melech. He has a different version. In which he says the same idea. If you're a slave of a king, you're a king. Or you're like a king. Eved Melech Kemelech. Two Gersa Otir. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and then we'll pick it up with our study of Mishnah Hay and the attendant Gemara about the whole case of the Chenvani al Pinkaso. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.